to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. Today we come to an end of our Galatians series. Our speaker is Mike Gillingham, reader at St. James, and our readings are taken from 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 to 31, and Galatians 6, verses 11 to 18. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
Reading is taken from Corinthians 1, verses 18 to 31, and it's from the Good News Bible. For the message about Christ's death on the cross is nonsense to those who are being lost, but for us who are being saved, it is God's power. The scripture says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and set aside the understanding of the scholars. So then where does that leave the wise, or the scholars, or the skillful debaters of this world? God has shown that this world's wisdom is foolishness, for God in his wisdom made it impossible for people to know him by means of their own wisdom, instead by means of the so-called foolish message we preach. God decided to save those who believe. Jews want miracles for proof, and Greeks look for wisdom. As for us, we proclaim the crucified Christ, a message that is offensive to the Jews and nonsense to the Gentiles. But for those whom God has called, both Jews and Gentiles, this message is Christ, who is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For what seems to be God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. And what seems to be God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Now remember what you were, my brothers and sisters, when God called you. From the human point of view, few of you were wise or powerful or of high social standing. God purposely chose what the world considers nonsense in order to shame the wise. And he chose what the world considers weak in order to shame the powerful. He chose what the world looks down on and despises and thinks is nothing in order to destroy what the world thinks is important. This means that no one can boast in God's presence. But God has brought you into union with Christ Jesus, and God has made Christ to be our wisdom. By him we are put right with God. We became God's holy people and are set free. So then, as the scripture says, whoever wants to boast must boast of what the Lord has done. This is the word of the Lord.
See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised, and the only reason they do this is to avoid being prosecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Neither circumcised or uncircumcised means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all those who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. Now, from now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen.
So we come to our final talk in the Galatians series, although the last few verses we had some weeks back, you may have noticed. In the course of preparation for this, I found that I'd perhaps share something with Paul, perhaps two things. But first, we're going to have a little diversion. What do we mean when we say that Paul wrote a letter? This is Paul's letter to the Galatians, but what do we mean by that? Well, the first thing I have to say is that Paul actually rarely wrote alone. I put a few things from Colossians. For instance, he starts, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother." So Colossians is from Paul and Timothy. Thessalonians is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And we will never know who actually put in which bit. But Paul was presumably quite in agreement with all this. So often Paul is writing with company. I at university, I went through a course where a lot of people were saying that Paul didn't write some of the letters attributed to him. And one of the reasons they gave was that the language varied a bit. Well, if he's writing with lots of different people, surprise, surprise, the language varies. Supposing you were to spend 2 years in America and then wrote, do you think perhaps your language might have changed a bit? And more so if you're writing in the company of other people. There's also another thing. I have to say, shock, horror, Paul didn't write his letters down. Not that he wasn't the author, but as with most authors, he of the time, oh dear, we have no... Sorry? Okay. Well, you're just going to have to put up with my voice. Sorry about that. That's for me. Right, okay. So he dictated them. And one of them, Romans, for instance, says, "I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord." So he finishes off with saying, yeah, I want to be acknowledged too. And yet, often in Paul's letters, he will put a particular greeting in his own words. So at the end of Corinthians, he says, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand." And in Corinthians, he says at the end, "I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand." Thessalonians, "I write this greeting in my own hand." So, having dictated his letter, he would take the pen and write a last little bit to show that it's from him. So it's something personal, as you might, for instance, on a card that is a poem from somebody else, the printer, you might write your own little piece to make it personal. But in Galatians, he does something more. He says, "See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand." Large letters. In other words, he wasn't very good at writing. And in fact, if you look back, earlier on he says to the Galatians, "I testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me." Now with these two, it makes it quite likely that Paul suffered the same thing as I do. As I look out, I can just about tell there are people there because you've got pink blobs on the top of some other colours, but I can't see for the life of me to recognise any of you. How fortunate we are in these days that I can put on glasses. But Paul couldn't do that. So perhaps Paul and I shared two things: short-sightedness. Certainly he had some problem that affected his eyes, and his writing was terrible. So was mine, as any of you have seen it. If you look at an official book written by one of these scribes, the letters are beautifully the same size. They wrote in all capitals, so every letter was the same size, and beautiful lines, and it's really lovely. But Paul almost mocks himself as he takes the quill from his scribe and painfully writes atrociously in these large letters. And why does he do this? He does it because he loves them. He's been on at them all the time in the letter to the Galatians. On at them again and again and again. And now he wants to say, I love you. He always starts his letters by giving thanks. So he starts Romans by saying, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Or Corinthians, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. But the Galatians, he doesn't move like that. But now, having scolded them, he shows his love. So he writes this greeting, almost mocking himself, with these large, painful letters, because he loves them. I went on a recent course on preaching, and there was a quotation from one of a famous lecturer, anyway. And he said, you should never stand in front of people to talk to them unless you love them. And as I look, I see friends. Some of you have known a long time, or some of you I've known most of my life. Some of you I've known shorter. But I've received friendship here. I hope you feel for me too. Some of you I don't know very well, and perhaps we'll become friends more. But this is a place of love. So as Paul loved the Galatians, and that's why he was so keen to hammer to them his message. So let's remember, this is a place of love. Now let's return to one of Paul's key questions to the Galatians. How did you come to know the Lord? He says this a number of times. Did you seek for God and found him? Well, I have a few quotations. One from C.S. Lewis. Those of you who love Narnia books or some of his more adult books like the Screwtape Letters will perhaps remember this from his biography. Amiable agnostics will talk about man's search from God. To me, as I then was, they might as well have talked about the mouse's search for the cat. The mouse's search for the cat. C.S. Lewis describes God searching for him and hemming in. Or a quotation from a famous poem, The Hound of Heaven. I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind. And in the midst of tears, I hid from him and under running laughter. As Francis Thompson describes how God sought him again and again and again. We are Christ because he came for us and died for us. It's not our wisdom. We didn't work it out. It's not because we're wonderful people, because we're so righteous and holy. it is of Christ we must boast. Let me just read you again. It's because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boasts in the Lord. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, the Jews demand signs and the Greek look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. We are not here because we worked it out. We didn't come up with a large book and lots of equations to work it out. We didn't spend hours thinking and thinking and thinking. We're not here because we're the cleverest people in the world. In fact, Paul, looking at the Corinthians, says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. I'm sorry to say, it's true of us now, isn't it? There are one or two people who are members of the church, and perhaps I forgive any of you who are MPs or lords or even serve on the council. We do have such from time to time. But not many of us. We're not here because we're the cleverest people. We're here because God came for us. I'm going to have another digression here. Sometimes the church got itself into trouble by venturing into the realms where they're not experts. The example I could choose is the quarrel with Galileo. Now, there were two cosmological systems, that of Ptolemy, which says the earth is at the center of the universe and everything rotates around that, or Copernicus, who taught that the sun is at the center of the universe and everything rotates around that. And unfortunately, a group of Italian clergymen decided that the Bible taught the Ptolemaic system. Actually, you know, it didn't teach either. It's not a book of astronomy, and we must beware of using the Bible to teach us about things other than what it's trying to. It often uses picture language. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. Don't go looking for tent pegs. It's picture language about how wonderful the universe is that God has designed. If we try to marry ourselves to some sort of wisdom which it's not about, we can get into trouble. And the thing is that people who are not Christians will use this to mock the church and use it as a barrier. The Bible is about how wonderful God is and what he does, not a particular physics textbook or any other sort. Not that I would say it contains errors, but it is not a definitive treatise on astronomy. So back to the main theme. He says, we preach Christ crucified. It doesn't fit in with Jewish ideas. The idea that the Messiah might be crucified, that didn't fit in with their theology at all. It doesn't fit in with Greek philosophy. The gods are beyond this. They are remote and high above all these things. The idea of them coming to earth other than to exploit human beings doesn't fit in with Greek philosophy. It comes from God. It is revelation. We could not have guessed it. and a reminder about those who've been troubling the Galatians. These people want to build up a big following for themselves. They want to boast, look, I got him. Look, I got her. Look, I got them. Look, I got lots of followers. Does that sound like anybody today? I'm not going to name names, but I think we can think of those who are more concerned with building up a following of them. There's a famous story I heard recently about Spurgeon. He had a huge following, had a church built for him that was huge, so it could accommodate the congregation. And one Sunday, he was ill. It happens to the best. So his deputy apologized and explained that Spurgeon wouldn't be there this morning. And a large number of the congregation got up and left. And he said to them, now that those who wish to worship Spurgeon have left, those of us who wish to worship God can do so together. So how did you know, come to know the Lord? Was it by wisdom? Was it by seeing a miracle? Was it by a ceremony? How did you come to know the Lord? Not by ignoring miracles, but they're not the end. Not by ignoring wisdom, but realizing it's insufficient. Not by ignoring our behavior, but these are all means. Don't be led astray. We are here because of what God has done. It's because of him that you're in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, who has become for us our righteousness, has become for us our holiness, our redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. That's where our boasts must be, in the Lord. So let's do some boasting. Let's boast of that Lord by singing together now, if I can ask for some help. Let's boast by singing how deep the Father's love for us.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.